They save the best for last. I didn't mean to be controversial. All right, I'm not going to be as like loquacious or grandiloquent as Stuart because I've drank a whole pitcher of beer, so I'm just not really capable of that. I'm going to put on my reading spectacles here. A la Jimmy Svedek. This first poem I have to read is called Mi Lombardo. In my dream, I'm standing in an empty lot of marl and heliotrope, but I'm unsure if it's heliotrope, the stone, or the flower. There's the feeling that I've forgotten Jazz's book somewhere in a house that is familiar in the way that all foreign things are familiar in dreams. In the slipstream, thought forms float about me with a forgotten certainty, although they're rarely my thought forms. I'm trying to write the ballad of a dying man on the crotch of an ash tree. I'm crosshatching noonday shadows on the bark. Hence, things end as they begin. Rill carves through marlstone. Alluvium returns to brook. Time yawns absentmindedly. Keep in mind, in my dream, time is runneling. Nothing, everything, all at once. A country choir of sea mammals warbling hymns of the deep. I think that they are most strange. A lone manatee that I understand to be Socrates approaches my lot, which is now a schooner. I feed him a carrot, and he tells me that there are memories we avail ourselves of, and memories best left forgotten. I ask him to distinguish between colloquium and symposium, but don't wait for an answer. I ask, will you be Dr. Zaius in a future incarnation? He answers, I was. In the sky, a thumbnail sliver of the daytime moon sits patiently on its turn, encroaching, tearing. On the ash tree, which is now amber, I write, the moon is the brutal arc of your décolletage. Socrates shakes his head. It is the lunette of our shared scythe, he says, addressing the firmament. That is too much even for a manatee, I say. I find awkward silence to be a universal language. I worry we have sundered. I worry I am rude even in reverie. I worry no more philosophers will inhabit my dreams. I ask, is life just a zero-sum game of love? He chuckles, with flippers pensively behind his back. All that is riparian returns to river. Weir becomes rubble, estuary, sea. I nod in unpossessed understanding. You are most wise and knowledgeable, Socrates. He lifts a small smile, Fabrici, lifting slightly. Yes, I am. Okay, I have much shorter and less hubristic poems to follow, so brace yourself. All right, this poem's called Athrobacy. When night steals in, the bed spins, and the boy grows to the size of the room. His arms thick as books, his fingers inarticulate needles hemming the dark. Sometimes he shrinks, small as a moth, beating itself into the light. In the morning he'll remember the view from the sycamore, the imprint of dust and pigment on the naked bulb outside the window, a lyric he can't quite sing. This poem is entitled Phantom Limb. Huzzah. She wakes in the night black, eyes knifing open to a dog's barking farther away than imagined, drawing the sheets towards their folds, teeming moonslant, his breath susurrus on her neck. She wakes, turns, and smooths her skin against his, an ancient conspiracy, asking, if grief is nothing more than the wanting of what isn't, that is, hungering as a child hungers, with totality of desire, or is it amputation, a seething pain without end. She watches him breathe. He has answered this before. He traces her heartbeat with his fingertips. It is always the void of something with no substitute leaves behind. Our memories of the things in themselves, that which renders us spellbound, coruscated with doubt. She presses his palm to her breast, wanting of a language older than dreams. They sleep, skin steeped in starlight. In the morning, he will put on his belt as his father taught him, left to right. He will tie his shoes, aglet through eyelet, switching knees when necessary. He will leave, knowing nothing more of her heart than hands will avail. All right, Stu. Unfortunately, this poem has a lot of words in different languages. I'm not going to give you a glossary. You can ask me about them afterwards, but I don't know. I'm not as cool as you. This is called The Goldberg Variations of Ferruccio Busoni. Jonathan has the slender fingers of a chess player, but he's not a chess player. He wants to play the quadlibet first, but he gets too nervous and begins with the 18th Verraccio instead. Gale pretends to be indifferent to the perfection of the canone alla sesta, dreaming of herself as Eurythmist, covered in veils, gliding like a spectral howl, moving in 2-2 time. She dreams of applause. She dreams of ovations in German. Richard will not drive a German car. Richard will not drive a Ford, for that matter. Henry Ford was awarded the Grand Cross of the German Eagle by Hitler. When the 56th Fighter Group bombed Cologne, only the Hohe Domkirche St. Petrus and the Ford Werke factory remained standing. Richard is lighting candles. Richard likes his vegetables overcooked. Richard is singing, Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam. I am standing as wine is spilling over Kiddush, tickling knuckles to blossom on tablecloth. I am happy to salt my bread. I am happy to dip my bread into wine. I am sad when Brett is sad. Brett is always sad. He's a Scorpio and a nihilist. We smoke the same cigarettes and dazzle the porch moths with smoke. In the fall, there will be a plague of stink bugs that get lost and die, leaving their corpses by the ashtrays. Irene will quit smoking and become a soul midwife. Carla will run to Irene when she sees I'm not the man she imagined me to be. She'll be right, but she'll stay anyway. Sean will leave to the great relief and joy of everyone. Michael George will leave, and no one will notice one way or the other. Isaac will appear from time to time, correcting my Yiddish with no regards for my feelings. I am jealous of Isaac's patrimony. I am covetous of his progenitors. I am unsure if this is a sin. It feels like a sin to love too much. I am in love with everyone. My heart is my Kiddush. My heart is Irenic. Jonathan is playing the Fugetta now, his hands a blur of light and song, effective in a way his speech will never be. Jonathan will continue to have dreams of his teeth falling out. Jonathan will make everyone uncomfortable when he talks about his fleshlight at the table. Richard will continue to eat ice cream with his shirt off. Brett will move back in, then out again. Many cats will come and go as the vaguely theosophist watercolor continues to fade. More baubles and tchotchkes and bric-a-brac will vie for mantel space. Furniture will ebb, mezuzahs will molder, the sun will shift its shadow in the afternoon, but mainly, laughter will be shared and wine will be spilled, if only in memory. Thank you very much. Thank all of you.